Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Freehof Institute of Progressive Halakha. I'm Rabbi Mark Wachowski with the 12-minute shiur number 56, Thinking Halachically About Disability. We're working with a source sheet that you can download at our website. That's www.freehofinstitute.org/podcast. How should a community think and talk about the subject of disabilities, physical and mental disabilities that cause individuals to be excluded from important aspects of communal life? Now, for the purposes of our discussion, we're going to identify two broad, maybe overly broad ways of thinking. One is passive and the other we're going to call active. We think passively about disability when we simply accept it as an unavoidable fact of life. We may not want to make life any more difficult for those with disabilities. I mean, we're not cruel after all, but we don't think that we as a community bear any positive obligation to change or mitigate that unavoidable fact. It is what it is. If you have a disability and you're prevented from engaging in a particular activity, then logically you're excluded from that activity. Don't blame us. It's not our fault. Your job is to figure out how to deal with the exclusion. By contrast, we choose to think actively about disability when we are more likely to regard exclusion as a problem that demands a solution, and to say that we as a community do bear a positive obligation to find ways to include the disabled as much as possible in activities in which they're otherwise unable to participate. Now, when it comes to the halakha, we see evidence of both the passive and the active way of thinking about disability. As we know, Jewish ritual life is structured largely in the form of mitzvot ma'asiyot, concrete physical acts that sanctify the world. Okay, so what happens, that is, how do we as a community respond when an individual is unable, because of some disability, to perform one of those acts? That's our question. And to illustrate what we're talking about, we're going to take a look at one particular mitzvah and one particular disability. We begin, lines 3 through 7 on the source sheet, with Leviticus chapter 23, verse 40. Ulekachtem lachem bayom harishon pri etz hadar kapot tamarim va'anaf etz avot ve'alve nachal. On the first day, you shall take the product of hadar trees, branches of palm trees, and so forth. We recognize this as the mitzvah of lulav and etrog, right? So the key here is the first word of the verse, ulekachtem. You shall take, which is understood not simply as an act of legal acquisition, but as a physical action. Hence, the traditional term netilat lulav, as we see in line 10. To take here means to take up, to grasp the lulav with one's hands. That's the essential mitzvah, the nianuim, the waving of the lulav in the different directions. All that is extra. Okay, what if a person is unable to perform this action? Shulchan Aruch, line 15, Adam she'ein lo yad, one who has no hands, notel lulav bizro'o v'chein ha'etrog. That person holds the lulav and likewise the etrog with the arm. Here we see that the disability, one maybe who was born with no hands or who was injured, maybe they're paralyzed and they don't function, we see that disability does not prevent the person from participating in the mitzvah and being obligated to fulfill it. Why that is explained by the Pri Megadim, an important commentary to Orach Chaim, which starts on line 22 and 25. Holding with the arm that the Shulchan Aruch refers to means via the armpit, or if one has a forearm but no hand, via the elbow. Dezeh nami lekicha mikare. Why is that? Because this action is also defined as taking. All right, but let's extend the matter. What if one has no arms at all? Or maybe one's arms are paralyzed. Can one fulfill the mitzvah of netilat lulav by taking the lulav with the mouth or the teeth? Pri Megadim says no. Aval ein lo zroa klal, ein litol bapeh, dezeh lav likicha klal. One who lacks arms may not hold the lulav with the mouth, for that is not taking. That is, that's not defined as taking at all. Now, on one level, this seems a bit odd. We read in Deuteronomy 25 that the Yevamah, the widow of a man who died childless, is released from her duty of levirate marriage through the ritual known as chalitza, an action in which, among other things, she pulls off the shoe of her brother-in-law, as the verse says, line 33, v'chaltza na'alo me'al raglo. And as the pre-Megadim himself tells us, lines 23 and 27, if the Yevamah has no hands, she may remove the shoe with her teeth. Okay, so what's the difference between that and the lulav, where he says you can't use your teeth? Well, let's look at the Talmudic source of the rule concerning the Yevamah with no hands, lines 38 and 41. The verse in Deuteronomy says, v'chaltza, she shall pull off. It does not say v'chaltza beyad. That is, it doesn't specify that she has to pull off the shoe with her hand. So therefore, she may use her teeth if necessary. Of course, the Leviticus verse back on line 3, ulakachtem, you shall take, concerning the lulav, that verse also doesn't say beyad. So why does pre-Megadim rule that one with no arms may not use their teeth to take the lulav? Well, presumably, he holds that the act of taking is by its very nature defined as an action of hand or arm. So the person with no arms, or one who's paralyzed, is excluded from the mitzvah of netilat lulav on purely conceptual grounds. They are simply unable to perform the action indicated by the word ulakachtem as we have defined it. Now, it's possible to define this the other way. Line 49, the Birkei Yosef, a commentary in the Shulchan Aruch by the 18th century Rabbi Chaim Yosef David Azulai, the Chidah. He says that since the verse in Leviticus does not contain that word yad, then the person with no arms, and by extension the paralyzed person, can fulfill the mitzvah with their teeth. Now, this is certainly a more inclusive result than the one reached by pre-Megadim. The Chidah does not exclude those individuals from the obligation to perform the mitzvah of netilat lulav, but like the pre-Megadim, the Birkei Yosef treats the question as one of pure definition, of conceptual analysis. Depending on how we define the act of taking, the disabled person is either obligated or not obligated to take up the lulav. They're either included or excluded from the community of that mitzvah. Neither commentator mentions the value of inclusion. Neither one considers the fact that we might think it a positive goal to bring this disabled person into the community. That's what we mean by active and passive thinking. When you think passively, you're concerned only with the concepts. When you think actively, you go beyond the concepts and think about disability and the disabled person as such. Well, now we come to the 19th century commentary, Bikurei Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, beginning on lines 57 and 66. He starts with the interesting fact that, as we learn in Tractate Chulin, it is theoretically permissible to perform the act of shechita, of kosher slaughter, with a machine, that is, a knife attached to a wheel that is powered by one's foot. Yeah, I know that's weird. We don't have time to explain it here, but you could look it up. Anyway, we also know that the halacha requires that the shochet, the one who performs the slaughter, has to take hold of the knife. We learned it from Genesis chapter 22, Akedat Yitzchak, the story of the binding of Isaac, where it says, Vayikach et ha-ma'achelet lishchot. Abraham took the knife in his hand to slaughter his son. Vayikach, he took, derives from the same root as ulakachtem over in Leviticus 23 about the lulav. So, if it's true that one may perform shechita with a foot-powered machine without holding the knife in their hand, that's got to be because one can perform the act of taking with the foot. And if that's the case, then when it comes to the lulav, Ettlinger says, v'hu hadin b'shinayim, you can also take the lulav with the teeth. And in line 71, it seems to me that one who has neither hands nor arms may perform netilat lulav with the teeth and also recite the bracha, That is, Vitzivanu al Netilat Lulav, praised are you, God, who has commanded us concerning the taking of the Lulav. Now, lines 61 and 73. Ettlinger addresses a potential kasha, a difficulty against his position. In Yoma 47a, we learn that the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, is forbidden to carry the incense pan into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur with his teeth. Again, weird. Why would he even think to do that? And again, good question, but again, we don't have time to go into it. The point is that the Talmud rejects that idea on the grounds that it's an insult to God. To behave in this way, to carry something in your teeth before an earthly king, would be considered disrespectful. So, kal vachomer, how much more so before the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Well, if that's true, maybe it's also disrespectful to perform the mitzvah of lulav with the teeth. That's the kasha. To which Ettlinger says, no, for a couple of reasons, and one of them, line 64. Kevan de anushu vadai leka pagam kavod. Line 80, since the one with no hands or arms is anus, they are coerced. They have no option but to perform the action this way. Then by holding the lulav with their teeth, they certainly show no disrespect to God or to the lulav. It's a fascinating argument. Normally in the halakha, ones, or coercion, is a reason to exempt or exclude an individual from responsibility. When one is coerced into committing a transgression, one is exempt from guilt. And when one is physically incapable of performing a particular mitzvah, then one is exempt from the obligation to do so. But here, Ettlinger reverses that logic. In his hands, ones becomes an argument to include rather than exclude. He seems to say, why would the halakha exclude, that is, deny these disabled persons the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav simply because they can't physically take the lulav in the normal way? If the only way they can do that mitzvah is with their teeth, why would we call it an insult to God for them to act that way? Rather, Ettlinger's desire to include these disabled persons in the community of this mitzvah helps lead him to adopt a broader definition of the action of taking, ulekachtem. His words give every indication that he is neither neutral nor indifferent to the outcome of this discussion. He wants to include these individuals in the chiyuv, the obligation to fulfill the mitzvah that is incumbent upon other Jews. He wants to get to yes. He therefore comes very close to what we've called the active way of thinking about disability, of understanding disability not simply as a concept, or not simply as an unchanging fact of life or nature, but as a challenge, an opportunity for creative thinking to overcome exclusion and to bring people in under the rubric of mitzvah. In our next installment, we'll look at a responsum by a posek who comes even closer. Till then, this has been the 12-minute shiur number 56 from the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. Thanks for learning with us. Lehitraot.